Hello, everybody. My name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is the Stephen D. Kelly Show. And we are Truth Cat Radio, www.truthcatradio.com. It is December 9th, 2025. 61 degrees Fahrenheit. Smoky. Yeah, it's smoky out there. All right. Once again, I'm going to talk about current events. Current events are driving the issue. But what's interesting, at least, and outstanding from the standpoint of our mission, is that for whatever reason, every time one of these fires happens, especially in Southern California, and this is not just any fire, we'll get into it, the Getty is always involved and comes up, and everyone always says, "What's going on? What's going on with the tunnels? Did they light these fires, these dew weapons, whatever?" So I have a lot of things to explain, but of course I have to repeat myself a little bit and remind you guys of some very common themes. And let's just start with the most obvious before we dive in. And that is, our focus is the Getty Center. And it is the NSA, the shadow government, the Magna Carta law-following Nazi, Templar, whatever you want to call them, mafia, Masonic, Intertel group, protocols of the learned elders of Zion, whatever you want to call them. The point is that we're fighting Satan. We're fighting Satanists. We're dealing with the most heinous situations been going on in the world forever, and what we're doing is nothing less than changing the entire trajectory of the planet for hopefully the rest of eternity, or at least the rest of creation. So the point I'm trying to make is that mission doesn't get any bigger. The target enemy that we're dealing with does not get any bigger. We're not here to attack Gavin Newsom. We're not here to attack the Jews. We're not here to attack Jimmy Carter's ghost, Donald Trump, Obama, take your pick, Zelensky, I don't care. The point is that, once again, when you remember, you remind yourself that our mission, the focus of our mission, is nothing less than the most massive thing that's ever happened in eternity. And that everything else is small and tiny by comparison. It's really important that you remind yourself of that every time, because when we talk about motives and we talk about events, timelines, and things that humans tend to follow, we get lost, and it's easy to become, well, it's easy to forget. So, that being said, we will be focusing on humans, but it's the humans that are underground ultimately that we are the most focused on. Welcome to all you people that just joined. Okay, our enemies are underground. They don't come up to the surface. This fire that's burning in the LA area is pretty horrendous. For me, the feeling is not quite as bad as the fall of Syria, but it's up there. The pain of the people that have lost their houses and lost everything they've owned is palpable. There's definitely a disturbance in the force. I saw a video of somebody shared on social media. They were inside of a house, a well-furnished home, and the flames were raging outside. They had a wonderful view. They had great glass windows, and the flames were right outside the windows. And they camera panned over to a dog. Looked like a golden, whatever you want to call those, a lab, golden lab type dog. And it looked up at and it was standing there. And it looked up at the owner like, "Is everything going to be okay? You got this under control? You know what's going on?" And I couldn't believe it. I saw it. It's like, what in the hell? How are those people staying calm and filming while there's flames outside, huge flames outside their window. The reality is I don't know if those people are alive, and I'm obviously very concerned about that poor dog that put his faith in those owners to get it out of the home when things got bad. So the pain right now isn't just the lost homes and the lost possessions, but the lost animals. This is incredibly painful. The squirrels, the snakes, the dogs, the cats, the birds. I don't know how many acres it is right now, but it looks like it's getting pretty close to 30,000 acres with 0% containment. Now, I know most of the stuff is burning. The homes that are burning, of course, are by the hillsides, kind of like the Getty. The Getty has had fires go through there very often. Of course, the one in Malibu, which is another Getty location, is horrendous. So when people ask me what's going on, is this an attack? The stuff that I hear is I don't want to say insane, but like, for instance, people are calling upon that says now's the time to take advantage of the situation and raid the Getty with a military force and rescue these children. You guys, you don't understand. To that bunker underneath the Getty, this is no more than a gentle breeze rustling outside. It has no effect on them whatsoever. Now, I will point out something else. And I will remind you again, the Getty is a fortress. It's meant to defend the entrance to the underground from us, the large entrance to the underground from us. And of course, the art that's being stored there, which is a huge repository far beyond that which is actually on display, it's extremely significant, and it's mostly significant not in its value, but in what it would represent if it was lost. So obviously, when everyone thinks that this fire is going to damage, it's going to endanger the artwork, that's the least of your concerns, because the art is stored in a place that is beyond fireproof. But the true reality is that art was stored there in that location, that should we ever rise up, pitchforks in hand, like these guys are saying we should do by militarily raiding the structure, they can blow it up with all our artwork and punish us and destroy our artwork and our Western civilization, which is ultimately what they want to do. But as far as the Getty's connection to these particular fires, other than the proximity or the fact that they're getting to burn away some of their undesirable neighbors, what you really have to understand is what's going on here is a cleansing, but it's also a very morbid money-making scam. Yes, there are a lot of people saying that these are false fires because the cars are burning and the trees are not and things like this. And yes, it's true. They do use these weapons to ignite these things very often. But before I go any further, I've just got to say DARPA is not an action agency like a special forces, like a CIA or an NSA or an FBI or somebody that's going to go out there and actually commit acts of criminal activity. DARPA is strictly a organization that is targets industry and technology that needs to be developed in a long-term way, and they fund. And they identify technologies, and then they fund advancements in those technologies. They do not create weapons and go out and use them. They aren't bad guys per se like that. It's nothing more than a research group. They build the things. They don't go out and use them. Now, back to this connection. The Getty, our mission, you know, nothing is an accident here, and everything that we do is certainly connected to the ultimate flow and the ultimate scheme of things. And our recent foray into land development, criminal activity, and exploitation of homeowners and the public through this planned communities, 15 communities, whatever, this new thing that's going on, this big, big money-making thing that's going on now, it's not a mistake. And when people talk about, they want to talk about, well, let's talk about these fires here. These particular fires, of course, they're happening in affluent areas. Now, Maui is a good example. Paradise is probably not so much a good example, but Maui is certainly a good example. But what's going to happen now is that these homes, these areas are going to be leveled and it's going to start fresh. These thousands of acres will become new communities. And these new communities will be developed by multi-billion dollar firms like Parker Development and some others, like the firm that's owned by the father and brother of the woman that's now the lieutenant governor of California, very much connected. When you look at guys like Gavin Newsom and you wonder what their ilk is in doing, how they're involved, obviously Gavin Newsom is very closely related to Gordon Getty, per se. But what did Gavin Newsom do? And remember, he is a Democrat that's supported by Republicans, so the party nonsense is worthless. But what did he do to help facilitate this stuff, and what is he continuing to do? He's cutting off water to Southern California. If you travel up the freeway, up the 5 freeway, you'll see signs that basically scream at Gavin Newsom for turning the California Central, whatever you want to call it, the valley, into a dust bowl by cutting off water. But he's also limiting the water supplies, and the water is coming from the aqueducts to areas of Southern California, such as L.A., and this is being blamed for the lack of water pressure and the lack of ability to find substantial agua for putting out these fires. There's a lot of people involved that we could point fingers at, we could lay blame at. One of them, of course, is the current mayor of L.A., Karen Bass, who basically cut $17 million or something from the budget of the fire department, L.A. Fire, to give it to homeless and immigrants. That's those kind of social policies that are so productive for our state. But that's not the only thing. You know, California, and I'm not sure if this is Gavin Newsom or who, could even be L.A., but they donated a substantial amount of their equipment, firefighting equipment, to Ukraine. Okay? Ukraine. Money is going to Ukraine to fight fires, but then something like this happens and we're in trouble. So, again, plenty of people to blame. Does this have anything to do with the children under the Getty? No, not directly. Not really, not at all. It's insignificant. This is a scorched earth policy that's basically making way for new development and new homes and new revenue streams. And I'll just remind you all how this works. But when these new developments go in, these 15-minute cities, you're going to see a lot of common area, and you're going to have HOAs, homeowner associations. Everything is going to be centralized in these communities, and they're going to have massive taxation based on homeowner association dues, as well as special tax boards for utilities, public parks, common areas that they're going to be constructing all over the place that they will be touting as the one of the great benefits of these cities, that they people can all share these common areas and ride their scooters and not have to drive their vehicles, and everything will be accessible within 15 minutes, this kind of thing. They're forcing it on you, and this is how they're doing it. And you have to remember, yes, it is about control. Yes, they do want to try to limit your ability to travel and to be, well, let's just say, hidden from their view. But mostly, and this is the real thing that you should be getting pissed off about, is that they're trying to not just steal your land and cancel your insurance and take you out of the picture so that you have to repurchase everything all over again on your own. This is, nothing is lost. This is a complete win-win. But you're going to be stuck into a new control structure that's going to have you paying all these extra additional taxes and having you at the mercy of these major corporations, these developers who are going to be controlling these new special plan communities. Trust me, the homeowners association can get away with murder, and they'll be acting as a quasi-private public entity, a very murky quasi-public entity that will have millions of dollars at their disposal. Millions of dollars for each one of these communities now. They'll be creating ongoing, continuous slush funds that will provide the mafia that controls these things with so much money, they'll be able to squash anybody that stands in opposition, like a uppity homeowner in Pacific Palisades that votes Democrat or whatever and thinks that they are entitled. You know, they throw their own under the bus, and this should be really evident right now in these fires. When we look at all of the lists of celebrities and elite types that have lost their homes in Malibu and places along the coast and such, and of course it's not just elites and a high-end middle class, but anyway, sorry, somebody's trying to call. It's not just these elites that are losing, but you know, here's the thing: you look at these guys, these actors and these Hollywood people that have been losing their homes and what have you. They got their insurance canceled just like everybody else. They lost everything, their baby pictures, you name it, all of everything, and yet they probably all voted for Karen Bass. They probably all voted for Gavin Newsom. They probably are all part of this system, this genocidal fifth column operating in our country. So it's kind of hard to really feel sorry for them. But like I said, I do feel very sorry for the animals. Now, why would this person be 513 area code be trying to interrupt me? Sorry, guys, you can't call in. I know there's a lot of people that want to talk, that have a lot to say. Obviously, there's a lot of people that want to talk and have a lot to say. The whole world right now is watching what's going on. I mean, in Russia, they're talking on TV, they're talking about it. You know, and I'll tell you one of the things that they're talking about that's actually quite embarrassing, if you will, but it's the makeup and the new, what do they call that, the DEI hires, the diversity whatever hires that they've had in these public institutions like the fire department. In Russia, they're actually talking, they're saying that people here in the U.S. are debating over the value, the quality, or the competence of a white male firefighter versus a black female firefighter. Apparently, this is a thing. And I can only say that I know, because they do this with law enforcement and other agencies, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do this with the fire department too, but they lower the standards. They lower the criteria necessary to become involved in these things, and they create these quotas. So is that a problem? Well, it's one of those places that people are pointing their fingers. But the point is that they're talking about this in Russia. They're talking about this all over the world because it is a horrendous, heinous catastrophe. And at the same time, it's casting a huge spotlight on the Getty. And this should be a very big opportunity for us to take advantage of this. And just as any other day, any other opportunity that comes along, we have to use everything that we get to try to complete this mission. And anything that we can do to point the public's attention at the Getty, it serves us very well. So this is something that we need to take advantage of. But at the same time, the going over the top with the whole anger and military thing, if you're just now getting angry, there's something wrong, because again, as I've said, The people that built the Getty, the people that run this, are the same people you vote for, the same people you're expecting to put out these fires for you, the same people that run the agencies responsible for doing all these things. Every single one of these people that you want to point fingers at is part of a system that is corrupt and has to go completely. And the only way this is going to be accomplished is through our mission and the whole Occupy the Getty mission. That really is the only thing. I don't really have much more to tell you about that. I mean, what do you want to hear? Do weapons? You want to hear about do weapons? Does it matter? No, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter. Did the government, did the thing that controls the government use HAARP to do a cook up these winds all of a sudden, these harsh winds? Possible. Who knows? I'll tell you one thing. It's kind of creepy. I had a tree trimmer show up at the door of the house just before the wind started and said, hey, you want to work on that tree? And I'm thinking, what do these guys know? What do they know? It's like the insurance companies that cut everybody's fire insurance for these homes all of a sudden, just, you know, spontaneously. What did they know? It's like Edison, Southern California Edison, the company that controls the power distribution, the lines, and the, you know, the power generation for the most part for most of the Southern California area and beyond. They've been preparing. What do they know? You know, they are cutting off power to whole cities, like, for instance, high fire areas, because they're worried about the winds blowing down the power lines and starting fires, as if that was the problem, not the dew weapons. But I'll just say this about Southern California Edison and the companies that send power all over the place. They use aluminum wire. How good is that? Aluminum wire, not good. I would say that if, as a cost-saving measure, that is probably one of the most substantial reasons for the fires that start when these power lines go down. And, of course, Southern California Edison is owned by the Rothschilds. It is a Rothschild-owned company. You work your way up to the owners, you're going to get to the Rothschilds. So, of course, the enemy is in control of this. They all work together. What else did I want to share about this thing? Well, hell, we also know that the crap that they've been dumping on us lately, the chemtrails. Last show I talked about the killer fog, and we know that the aluminum in this stuff also basically causes everything to become extremely volatile. So certainly that is part of it. I want to remind you guys also that the area of Southern California is quite large, and the areas that are burning, as large as they are, thousands of acres, are still relatively small compared to the overall L.A. Basin-type concrete plateau that we all live in. So I appreciate all of you that are concerned about whether or not I myself are in trouble. You know, I mean, no, the ghettos are not burning. The ghettos are not near these hillsides. They're not. These are nice neighborhoods. I think that these developers are not interested in the dirt underneath the ghetto. They want the nice stuff that they can redevelop, kind of like they did up there in El Dorado Hills. Gosh, there's so much more I wanted to say, but okay, real quick. I do want to go back and, first of all, thank all of you for your hard work, and I do want to tell you that people very deeply involved in our mission are being affected right now by this fire, and of course they don't want to come out and say anything publicly, but the thing is that obviously I worry considerably about this. So I think that even though these people are in such great danger, at the same time, they're very much focused on the mission, because I think by anyone that's been doing this long enough knows that ultimately the mission is everything, and anything that's going on is definitely connected to the mission. But I was told that in the city of Santa Monica, mostly in the downtown area, and I assume this is the area around the pier and what have you, I don't know Santa Monica that well, but from what I understand, there's looting going on, and at least 100 people have been arrested for looting, and the purpose of they're actually closing down the downtown because of this. They're actually making it a no-go zone until they have the opportunity to deal with this. This doesn't surprise me. Again, this is another facet of the times we live in. And I also have heard that a lot of the people that have had to evacuate, some people are being allowed back in to certain areas, but they're not allowed to drive in. They're having to walk in. And of course, this again is very reminiscent of what happened in Maui. I don't have any more to report. I guess I'll go into the world stage a little bit. Of course, let's Jimmy Carter, the president, died 37th president, I believe he was. But when I was growing up and when I was a young adult, especially, you know, getting involved in CIA and all that stuff, I was very much a Reagan Republican. I was very much pro-Reagan before I knew anything about his involvement with Iran-Contra and the Ollie North gang. But we didn't like Carter very much back then. But I have to say, as the years have gone on, of all the presidents, living, dead, recent presidents, guys that have come and gone, that man was truly a good human, a truly respectable, good human. And I have the utmost respect for maybe not his methods or his policies, but for his intentions and his wholesomeness. And he's one of the few people that has been honest about Israel. One of the few people has been honest about Israel. And I suppose this has a lot to do with why he was shut down and so denigrated. But he wrote a book not too long ago. I actually got this book. I bought it. I don't buy too many books, but I bought this one in hardcover. It was Jimmy Carter's book. I don't remember the title, but it was something about the truth in Israel, the truth in Gaza. I regret not knowing having that title at the tip of my tongue. But the point is that these are things that should be remembered and things that should be brought up. Very important. Which reminds me that just today, Congress voted to basically punish anybody that supports the ICC, the International Criminal Court, in its endeavors to, well, let's just say, punish Netanyahu and his cabinet for war crimes. This is a very big deal. Netanyahu canceled a trip to Auschwitz for the commemoration of the liberation of Auschwitz because Poland said they would arrest him. So certainly the United States is, of course, the champion of these entities. What's the point of that? Well, the point is that we still know who controls this place, and it's not Israel. It's the people that control Israel, the money that controls Israel. And again, you've got to go underneath the Getty if you want to deal with that. I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump, not necessarily the fact that he's a Chabad Jew and that he's actually as closely connected to this mafia and this Israel thing as you could possibly get, but his new idea of trying to basically take over Canada and take over Greenland, and take over the Panama Canal. This is extremely strategic, important ideas, which are actually extremely, well, let's just put it this way. It would be a very good thing for America if we did this. And the reason why we need to do this, why Canada, why Greenland? Because both of those countries have major borders area connected to the Arctic. And the Arctic has become a major pathway for ships traveling from China to Europe that now do not have to sail around Africa or deal with the Suez Canal and the Houthis or the Panama Canal, all this stuff. So basically the bottom line is the new pathways or shipping lanes opened up by Russia with their icebreakers through the Arctic have become extremely important, and the Arctic now is open for development and it's become militarily strategic. So the United States is required to basically do this. Now, Greenland, of course, possibly has massive amounts of undeveloped resources that have yet to even be discovered. And, of course, the United States would be very good to find whatever oil, lithium, whatever it is there that needs to be discovered. And Norway, Denmark, I guess it is, whatever country, I think it's Denmark that controls that country, they don't have the resources, the power, anything to actually do this work. So whether or not NATO or whatever, I personally think that that's something that needs to be done, kind of like when they stole that territory from Mexico, they should have stolen more. But Canada, same thing. Ridiculous amounts of resources that are basically untapped, controlled by what? The Crown? Anyway, so yeah, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. And I'm not suggesting the United States is any better, but Canada, your impotence, it's time. I think it's time. Yeah. And the United States truly is what's happening is that Trump is very astutely creating is a sphere of influence, a massive continental sphere of influence, very similar to the Monroe Doctrine, except that it's not including South America. Now, the policy of the neocons, the guys that have been waging war in Ukraine and what have you, the guys that are part of the EU and everything else, the globalists, they want their sphere of influence to be the entire globe. No, obviously, that's not going to work. China has a sphere of influence. Russia has a sphere of influence. And the United States is going to scurry real quickly to create its own new sphere of influence. And we need to control the travel and we need to control the borders of the entire continent now, not just the borders. So that's what he's thinking. And I think it is realistic. And I don't think that this is a joke. I think that it's very long-term strategic planning in order to counter Russia, and it's pretty wise, to be honest with you. So don't laugh at that. Ukraine, the war in Ukraine situation is horrendously bad. It's not going to go much longer. I really don't know what to tell you, but obviously when Trump gets in there, I don't think that there's going to be any more aid packages going that way. It's going to get horrendous. Russia, though, I would say is probably going out of the way to provide opportunities to let the Ukrainians off relatively easily. I mean, I know that sounds glib, but to be honest with you, I don't see the Russians as treating Ukrainians like the Nazis that they faced during World War II. I think that deep down, they still have a kinship with these people. And yes, they want to remove the ideology, the Nazi ideology. But at the same time, these are basically Russian people. And if the opportunity arises where they can end this thing in a way that serves their purposes without completely destroying Ukraine, they would be happy to do that. But what they do want to destroy is NATO and the European Union. And I think that Donald Trump is doing a very good job of that, at least his plans. And I would say that ultimately the United States is doing a very good job of that also, because obviously all of the sanctions, everything that's come down by the West has done nothing but completely destroy Europe and make Russia stronger. So that's really what I see as far as that's concerned. Beyond that, well, first of all, I want to say we got a whole bunch of people listening, and I know there's a lot of new listeners, and you guys, you're here to hear what's the latest, what's going on with the Getty. I know what you want to hear. You want to hear about the fires. You want to hear about our troops down there. How is this all connected? Nothing like that. But did I mention that the Getty is a fortress, and one of the tools that they have to fend off attackers, meaning us, if we were to raid that place like you guys want to do, they have 10 million gallons of water in a tank. sitting there high up on the hill waiting for such an opportunity, because the way the system, the way the place is set up, they could actually flood it. I know it's on the top of the hill, but the way the buildings are set up, there is a perimeter which basically could be turned into a lake. So the top of that mountain is going to have a lake. When they, the entire garden will sink down. The that whole area could be filled up with water. So the point is that they have plenty of water at their disposal should they need to wet everything down. And I remember years ago when we first learned about this from talking to the trust fund manager, that that was actually engineered as a way of defending the building. So in other words, should it go into castle mode, they would release this 10 million gallons of water and it would create a moat over. So in other words, the whole area of the back there, where you look at one side, it looks pretty defended, but then you look at the area on the inside where the research center is and what have you, the cafe, all that, that area has a moat. So yeah, they could fill it up with water anytime they wanted. Should be known. And of course, that water would be very, very useful. Now, I'll tell you one more thing that I'm going to leave you with. I don't want to babble about this too much anymore, but it really bothers me when this stuff happens, because when I talk to people that want to live in the hills or anywhere like that where there's a danger of fire, and trust me, all this area that's burning, it needed to burn. It was overdue. But the point is that if you live in such an area, you should probably have a swimming pool. And if you don't have a swimming pool, you should probably have at least minimum 10,000 gallons of water in a tank, preferably underground, a big polypropylene, polyethylene tank. You can buy these things, and you have it hooked up to a pump, gasoline powered, not electric, which will take that water and feed it to rainbird sprinklers, and I'm talking industrial golf course type agricultural grade sprinklers that can send a good stream of water out at least 50 feet, make a 100-foot radius, and you put one of these on the ends, each one of the ends of your home. And assuming that you don't have tall trees that are higher than your roof that are going to prevent the water from getting out far enough, you could keep a fire down. Fire, you're surrounded by fire. You're in that house like those two guys. I assume they're gay, two guys and a dog living in the hills, you know. But, hey, guys, you should have got the hell out of there, or you should have had one of these systems. Now, I actually wanted to start a company, I don't know, back when I had SK Industries, but I was trying to start a sub-company with one of my friends. And we were going to do this. We were going to go to homes in the hills, places like this that are in danger of this sort of thing, and sell to them systems that would either pump the water out of their swimming pool or pump it out of a tank that we would place somewhere on the property. You know, if you got money, more than likely you're going to have a swimming pool which is going to have, who knows what, 20, 30, 40,000 gallons of water in it. That's enough to keep your house from burning down. If you have proper, strong enough pumps, plumbing, and sprinklers situated in key places, you can put your house inside of a bubble of water, a radius of water that'll last long enough till a fire passes by, depending on the amount of water you have at your disposal. How many times have you seen houses completely burned down and there's a swimming pool full of water right there? I've seen it often. So the point is why isn't that a thing? Why is that not a thing? Should be everywhere. Rainbirds on the corners of the house, upper corners. Not just garden rainbirds, but big ones like they have at the golf courses that dump lots of water quickly. Anyway, stupid humans. Reminds me of when I was a little kid. And I'd see these big boxy semi-trucks driving down the road, and I think, wow, that doesn't look very aerodynamic. Now that gas prices are up, they've got everything streamlined and fiberglass things to make the trucks more aerodynamic. You know, How about this idea, people? How about you guys put sprinklers all over the place and have water tanks and gasoline-powered pumps that you could actually have a fire system on standby? What are you doing? Are you waiting for the fire department? You're waiting for Mayor Karen Bass to not sell your fire trucks to Ukraine or whatever? I mean, seriously, people, you got to be responsible. And that's what Occupy the Getty is all about. It's being responsible, caring about everybody. It's one thing to be empathic and be upset, but it's another thing to be responsible. So ultimately, I hope that that's what you guys are going to learn to be. Responsible for your home, your family, your possessions, but also your neighbor's home, family, and possessions. Very, very important. So that's really all I have to say, and I hope that something happens really soon that this devastation stops, especially for the sake of the animals, the pets. Very upset about that. I'm very worried about that poor golden lab or retriever, whatever it was, sitting there looking at the owners like, are we okay? Is this all right? Are you going to take care of me? I trust you to take care of me. Are you making the right decisions? Everything okay? What are they waiting for? An airplane to come by and drop a 10,000 gallons of water on top of the house? Anyway, people, I hope everybody learns a lesson. I hope this becomes a thing. I hope somebody hears me. But I'll tell you, you want to talk about the fires? Let's talk about why they don't have sprinkler systems on those homes. I should mention that I did get an email today from some people representing Roseanne Barr, who has a podcast, who asked me to talk about the Getty tunnels, and thank you to the people that set that up. Hopefully it'll go through here real soon, and we'll be able to reach out to some people that might not know about this yet. And that's really all I really have to say to you tonight about this stuff. Again, I apologize if I rambled and didn't seem to be too organized. We had a really good show last week. Those of you that are listening that didn't listen last week, you need to get the last show. It's on Brighteon or something like that. Of course, tonight's show is going to be playing on loop after I turn off the recorder. But that's really all I have to say. So I want to, those of you that have joined the group recently because of the recent focus on the Getty and what have you, and the talk about the tale, even Stu Peters is talking about the Getty tunnels and Allie Carter again. Holy crap. But no mention of me. Anyway, whatever, or no mention of our mission. I do want to say, though, that those of you that have joined because of the recent activity, you need to stick around. You need to realize that we're in this for the long term. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. And I need people who are dedicated and motivated and patient. It's the same thing if you want to be a Jedi. I know I see every once in a while I see somebody I wrote and I asked to be a Jedi, but I haven't heard anything yet. Well, you know what? Sometimes if you don't hear back from me right away, it's because I want you to be patient. I want you to dwell on this. It's not a light thing. None of what we do is light. It's very serious. It has massive amounts of gravity. And I need you all to understand that this is not light entertainment. This is the world we're talking about. This is the universe we're talking about. This is your soul. This is what it's really all about. This is about eternity and the entire universe and our transition and what we do, our legacy that we leave here on Earth. This is what it's all about. Okay? So in other words, if you're in the group and you're a newbie, read, listen, learn, become an expert, and make this your number one focus. And when the fires die down and we forget about it, don't. Remember that if that's what brought you here, that it served its purpose. Okay. I'm going to leave you with that. And once again, my heart goes out to all those people that were affected. And I sure hope that all the pets are accounted for. And I know that we're going to be talking about this for a long time. And certainly when they start trying to bulldoze and redevelop and cordon off and do everything that they're doing to the people in LA that they did to the people in Maui, it's going to be a big issue. It's not going to go away. But you have to remember, if you want to stop this bullshit, the only way you're going to be able to do that is by getting involved in the Occupy the Getty mission, because we are the only ones that are going to put an end to it. And that is basically ending this farce thing that we call the United States government, which is basically the thing that runs the entire rest of the world. So, yes, when we take down the power structure, the satanic power structure, it will take down every other control power authority that you could imagine in the rest of the world. Maybe not Russia. We'll see what happens with those guys. Okay? So this is no little small thing. And if anything, you need to get angry about this. That certainly gets me angry. You need to be upset. But you also need to temper this anger and realize that this is something that needs to be burning for a long time and isn't going to dim as soon as something else comes along. Okay? You need to have this flame consistent and constant. It shouldn't be going up and down. It should rage, of course, but it should rage eternally, not just today or tomorrow or last week. It needs to be going at the same rate all the time till we die. I hope you understand. Anyway, let's see. I want to remind you also that if you could help out economically with a PayPal, that would be really appreciated. Of course, it's StephenKelly714@yahoo.com, and say it's Frederick's family. And I know that there's people, and I'm just going to say this now because I know there's so little we can do, but I anticipate that I may need to reach out to you guys to help people in our group or people that we're close to that are impacted by this stuff, because it's still going on. People who have had to evacuate haven't completely gone back home. They don't know if their stuff is safe. Houses that are there today could be gone tomorrow. All right? And then there's the looting and the lawlessness and all that stuff. Oh, the book I'm thinking of is Palestine, Not Apartheid by Jimmy Carter. Thank you. Thank you, Simone. Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy Carter, also for that. Palestine, Not Apartheid. What a title, huh? You guys forgot all about apartheid, huh? Okay. All right. With that, please help like I asked, and also join the group and ask your friends to join the group and listen to my book on YouTube or read it and listen to some of my videos or work your way back if you have to, whatever. Do your homework, catch up, and become a fanatic about what we're doing. And not so fanatic that it ruins your life, but you just need to be really motivated and dedicated. That's what I need from you. All right. So thank you all the new listeners, and thank you all that tuned in. And please join me again, and hopefully I'll come up with something more inspirational and enlightening next week. But I just want to tell you all that, oh, yeah, and of course, the Telegram group that you got to join if you haven't done it already is OccupyTheGetty.com/StephenDKelly. All right, that's really the only place you're going to be able to communicate with me, except for my law17gun@AOL.com email, which is not the same as my PayPal. All right? Okay, then. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. I've had it. The air quality is really bad out there. Stay indoors. And if I've told you before, like I told you last week, if you haven't listened to me, get an air cleaner. Now you need it more than ever. You're going to be needing it for a while. If you live around here, get an air cleaner. Order it right now. And again, take your lysine. I can't believe there's people out there that are still not taking lysine. You're going to need it. It's going to keep you alive. We don't know what they're dumping on us, okay? All the crap that's coming down health-wise, you need to take your lysine, okay? 1,000 milligrams a day, 500 milligrams minimum. Thank you so much. All right, everybody, once again, I love you all. My name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is the Stephen D. Kelly Show, and we are the one and only Truth Cat Radio at www.truthcatradio.com. Look at it, you got more people tuning in. My gosh, really, guys? Again, the show's going to play in a loop, so stick around, and after the music, the show will play again, okay? And if you don't like my Super Tramp or my Outlaws, and there's a reason for everything, okay? So just deal with it. But again, thank you for tuning in, and please tune in next week, and I'll talk to you on my email and my group, and I'll just say once again, good night. God bless. Adios. And goodbye.